Beginning Mitzvah Tuf Aleph 401. Mitzvahs Temidin Bechol Yom. The mitzvah that in the Beis HaMikdash there should be two daily sacrifices every day, independent of if you happen to have a chatas to bring that day, or there's a some other occasion you have to bring a korban. Every single day there are two communal offerings. Shnitzdavu Yisrael Shiakrivu al yedei mesharsi Hashem Yisbarach Shehema Kohanim, that the Jewish people should offer by through the Kohanim. Again, it's fundamentally an offering that represents the entire Klal Yisrael. It's just the Kohanim who happened to execute it. Shnei kivasim b'nei shana temimim. That's a famous line. It's two lambs within their first year without blemish. Le'ola b'chol yom. Again, this is not the type of offering that is eaten, but rather the lamb is completely burnt on the altar. B'chol yom, every single day. Ha'echad ba'boker v'asheni bein ha'arbaim. The first one is in the morning, and the second one is in the afternoon, and we're going to discuss exactly what that means. Shneamar tzavos b'nei Yisrael v'amar to aleihem, that to command the Jewish people and tell them, Eskor bani lachmi leishai, the famous line, shnayim layom alasamid, two per day as a permanent type of burnt offering. V'mikol makom ikar hazhara lebezdin, that the main people who are entrusted to ensure that this take place are the Bezdin, the Sanhedrin, Kolomar Chachamim Mori Torah Shabi Yisrael, that the Torah sages, Gealeim Utelas Meleches Hatzibor, they're responsible for what goes on in the Jewish people. Moshe Darshu Zichron LeBracha VeAmar Toa Lehem Azhar LeBezdin, that you shall, in other words, since it says you shall say unto them, so it means that the, again, the simple understanding is that the Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching the Jewish people, but it's also Darshan now that for all generations, it's the Chachomim, the wise people of the generation, the sages, who are responsible for ensuring that the Jewish religion functioned properly. And at times the Beis HaMikdash, that involves the two daily offerings, which are the central service of the Beis HaMikdash in a way. Mishor Shei Mitzvahs HaKorbanos. Why do we have to bring Korbanos? Because Kasad Mitzvahs HaMikdash, Seder Vayikuli Truma, Vikuli Truma, Sei Aleph. So why do we have the korbanos? So again, the korbanos represent us fundamentally, that we're giving of our money, that the fact that we give our material possessions and are willing to sacrifice it on the altar shows our dedication to God and the impact that it has upon us. Famously, many Rishonim say that when you have a korban and you watch it being shechted and burnt on the altar, you should imagine that really that should be yourself. As blood sprinkled on the altar, really that should be your own blood, but as a sacrifice to God. But we don't do that. We don't sacrifice people. So therefore, you should view that as a substitute. That this encourages us when we give of our own possessions to God, so that encourages us to focus on the fact that God is the source of our material possessions and the blessings thereof, and therefore we should be cognizant of that. That your thoughts are, they're drawn after your actions. So if you are constantly giving of your property to God, so you're constantly thinking about God and you become a more deeply religious and committed person. So just like people eat two meals a day, it's a big chiddush Sefer Chinuch is telling us. What does contemporary society tell us we're supposed to have? Three meals a day. But that's not the way it classically was. The classic meal plan was that there was one meal in the morning, mid to late morning, and another meal in the evening time. So perhaps that's too much.
That's why Shabbos is special.
Oh, exactly.
Yes.
That's why, that's all. On Shabbos, you eat three meals. What do you mean? Three meals. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Everybody eats breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. Three meals. No, Shabbos was special that you were supposed to add in an extra meal. meaning that you're supposed to have one at nighttime, and then you have one in the early morning. That was the classical setup of the Shabbos meals. As one was in the, instead of having one in the late morning and then one in the late afternoon, so classically you had one in the, again, the previous nighttime, or very late afternoon nighttime, and that's Friday night, and then Shabbos morning you have a meal in early to mid-morning, and then Shalosh Shudas would be in the mid-afternoon or something. That was the classical, again, 1,000 years ago, that's how it functioned, but now, due to everyone likes to get up late, you have Shacharis at 10 o'clock, so you obviously don't get the exact order of the way Shalosh Shudas, the way that Chazal intended. And there's another shita in the Gemara, famous shita of Reb Chidka. Reb Chidka holds they're supposed to have 4 meals on Shabbos. So we don't go like that, obviously. That's a minority opinion. But he holds that it's one at nighttime, then one in the early to mid-morning, then one in the very early afternoon, and one in the late afternoon. Oh. So, I mean,
it's sort of like what we do with the Kiddush. I mean, in
order that gewaltige good defense of the Kiddush.
That's right.
The reason that we have a Kiddush in Shul is not to stuff our faces and drink bourbon, but rather we want to give a nod, if not exactly fulfilling what he said, we want to give a nod to the Suda of Reb Chidka, that we have 3 meals during the daytime of Shabbos as opposed to just 2, which is the classical psak. Oh, Givaldik! Wonderful.
Wait, what Gemara is that in? Where is this?
It's in Sanhedrin, in the Masechet Shabbos, and around Daf Kuf Yotes, page 119. So that's okay. Very cute. Very cute.
Yeah.
That was also. But I wanted to. So the thing is, the kiddush. So you have mizonos. So that's according to Halacha, mizonos is really cake. Al pi Halacha is really bread. Elamai, what's going on with the cake? Why don't you make hamotzi on bread? Because it's clearly not a meal food. In other words, nobody eats cake as the main part of a meal. But that's why the halach is that when you actually do have a cake as the main carb or whatever of a meal, you actually do have to make hamotzi. That means that now we say, because cake fundamentally is bread in halacha. It's just a baked, it's a flour and water baked together. It's just, you know, it's some other spices or sugar in it. So that's why. What?
Well, bread rises.
Hamatzah, no? Bread in halacha doesn't have to be risen. So that's why you have to make hamotzi when you actually do have a cracker, is even something that's not so sweet, but cracker is something that you make mizonos. So that shows that now you're not treating it as a snack food, but you're treating it as a bread food. If you sit down, so that's the limud zchus also, that the simple understanding is that, again, it's somewhat of a discussion in the Rishonim, but the simple understanding, as the Aruch HaShulchan points out, is that the second Shabbos meal must be before Chatzos. Right? One in the morning, that's what the Rambam says. You have the Friday night meal, then you have, in Shabbos day, you have one in the morning and one in the afternoon. So you're supposed to have the Shabbos meal, supposed to be before Chatzos. So if you daven at a 9, 10 o'clock minyan, and then you have a Kiddush after the davening, so especially in the winter, so by the time you get home and you're ready to have your actual Shabbos meal, it's going to be after Chatzos. So that was my limud zchus, my defense. Again, I don't feel it's the lechatchila, the correct way to do it, but my defense also, in line with what Dr. Munsterberg was saying, similar to maybe it's a nod to Reb Chidka, but since that if you eat cake or other mizonos at the Kiddush, which is before Chatzos, so I said maybe that counts as in some way as your Shabbos meal. That's correct. If you eat the quantity of cake or crackers that would be like the amount of bread that would normally accompany a meal and you are somewhat full by it, so then yeah, you should bench. I mean, some people give a set amount that it has to be 4 or 6 eggs volume of the... But it's simple, the Mishnah Berurah, right? It's a simple understanding that according to most shitas, it doesn't really have an objective definition. It just goes by what is a meal. But most people, you could be mitzvah with the fact, again, it is somewhat fuzzy, but you could be mitzvah with the fact that since you're just standing around munching and you're not sitting down to a meal, Unless you eat in a really enormous quantity, so maybe you shouldn't have to bench.
You get a big kiddush with it.
Okay, so we have separate. There are issues with having a kiddush in shul every week, halachic issues because of these reasons. But maybe it's it'll help us in the winter that we'll make sure to have our suda, somewhat of a suda before chatzos, and we will have a nod even in the summer at the Reb Chitka. He's supposed to have four sudas on Shabbos. Okay, maybe. It's also this thing that's common, you know, nowadays. People are doing this, there's a diet regimen with what's it called? Intermittent fasting. So the idea is that this idea that you should have three meals a day is actually making people fat because it's eating more than you need to eat, so you shouldn't be eating. If you eat just two meals a day that are relatively close to each other and you fast the rest of the time, so some people have success with that for losing weight and feeling better. Oh, two meals a day. That was the classic equation. So just like people have two meals a day, so they take care of their own needs two meals a day, so you should focus on God also twice a day. That's as if the slave is spending more time on his own luxuriating than on serving his master, which is inappropriate. The idea is we should be just as focused, at least, on serving God as we are on indulging ourselves, in this case, with food. So you should awaken your soul and your desire to remember God at all times. So then you're constantly thinking about God, so it's going to translate into always having your actions trying to be what God wants, and thus receive the God's blessing from your actions being in consonance with His will. The Sifri says, "Shamarti v'nasa ritzoni." In other words, it says that it should be a pleasant smell to God. So I mean, God doesn't smell in the same way that people smell. So it doesn't mean that God smells the korban and it finds it to be a pleasant odor. It's a metaphor that it means that when God sees that people are doing what He says, so then He's pleased by that. That God is happy that people are going to be doing things that are worthy of having the divine blessing come onto them. And so that's why it's like a pleasant smell. Midine ha-mitzvah, what are the halachas? Masham zichron l'bracha. Shezman shchitosan shel tmidin, hu ha-keves ho-echad shel boker, kodem sheta lechama. That what is the time that you shecht the morning tamid? It's before sunrise. Mishiyeor penei ha-mizrach. When the eastern sky becomes illuminated. So what does that mean exactly? When the eastern sky becomes illuminated. So the classical definition is we have a time called Alos HaShachar. That's when we assume the halachic day begins. And again, there's some discussion about it, but the normally accepted definition of Alos HaShachar is when the first light appears on the eastern sky. Any discernible light on the eastern sky is called Alos HaShachar, and that's the beginning of the halachic day. That's why that they list Alos HaShachar as 72 minutes before sunrise, because the Gemara says, Maseches Pesachim, that Alos HaShachar is, again, it's 4 mil or 5 mil, whatever it is, the assumption is that that means 72 minutes before sunrise. So some people nowadays, when creating halakha calendars, make a mistake that Alos HaShachar is always 72 minutes before sunrise. Look at the clock and you look at the time for sunrise and you look. So if you're looking in the summer, especially, I mean, even in the winter is the truth. If you're looking in the summer, 72 minutes before sunrise, it's way light out. That's way after Alos HaShachar. It's really not right. The problem is the whole thing comes from the fact that nowadays people have gotten too attached to clocks. In the olden days, You know, accurate clocks were not really available. So, and to find out, Elisa Shachar, what do? You look outside and see when you can see light on the eastern horizon. So the idea that it should be always fixed 72 minutes before sunrise in all places and times is really not correct, and it should go based on the actual first appearance of light. Okay, so that's the classic definition of Alosa Shachar. So what's going on here that the Tamid was shechted mishiyor kol pnei hamizrach, that the entire eastern sky should become illuminated. So, according to one understanding, that's actually Alos HaShachar. That Alos HaShachar does not mean the very first light on the eastern horizon. It means that there should be a spread of light over the eastern horizon. Again, exactly how much? We don't have a clear tradition as to how to define that. But it should clearly be that there's a significant amount of light on the eastern horizon. So, okay, so that's the case. Then you have a kula for the fast days. Again, it would still not be as late as 72 minutes before sunrise, at least here in America. But perhaps then you have a bit of limud zchus for those who begin the fast a little later than, let's say, the time that we give in our shul. But again, you would have to go look outside and see. Yeah, I'm not saying you should follow that, but that's possible to understand that's an interpretation of Alos HaShachar. So according to that, what it means, that it was shechted ad mishaher pnei hamizrach, that was really halachically the earliest possible time for the shechting of the Tamid Shel Shachar, because that's the beginning of the halachic day. But if you hold that Alos HaShachar is just the first tiny bit of light that you see on the eastern horizon, then this, the reason that they had to wait until Mishaher Pnei Kol HaMizrach, is because you want to be 100% sure that you don't make a mistake and you confuse some sort of starlight with the Alos HaShachar. So you have to wait a little beyond the Alos HaShachar and get to Mishaher Pnei Kol HaMizrach. So this also is a big difference regarding davening times. Shulchan Aruch writes that you're not supposed to daven Shacharis before Mishaher Pnei Kol HaMizrach. Again, L'chatchila, you should wait until even later, but he says you really cannot, even in an emergency situation, you should not daven before Mishaher Pnei Kol HaMizrach. So if that is really, according to Halacha, the beginning time, so if you davened after the first light, before the illumination spreads on the whole eastern horizon, then you're not Yotzei Shacharis at all. But if it's just a delay in order to make sure you don't get confused, then if Lemaisa Yudavin after the very first bit of Alos HaShachar, then you are Yotzei the davening. So Lemaisa, you also did not wait till sunrise. That was too late to shech the Tamid Shel Shachar. Even though we have a normal principle in halacha that any mitzvah that must be done during the daytime, technically could be done after Alos HaShachar, because that's the beginning of the halachic day. Mm-hmm. But ideally, l'chatchila, in order to avoid all possible confusion, you're supposed to wait until after Hanitzachama, after sunrise. Again, whether it's exactly what we call sunrise now or not is a question. But it's a much later time than Alos HaShachar. Mm-hmm. So that only applies. That's a derabbanan. So we know a lot of derabbanans did not apply in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, they did not wait. They wouldn't have enough time to do all the stuff they needed to do during the day. That they did not wait until after sunrise to have the Tamid Shel Bein Har Shel Shachar. But rather, they used to start the process immediately. Heyer Pnei Kol HaMizrach. So when was the latest time? Upam achas, it says Maseches Eduyos, Reb Yehuda says that one time dochek hashoas atzibor bevayis sheni, that some one point in the second base of Mikdash that there was some major issue. Bikrivu tamid shel shachar bearba shos bayom. They offer the morning tamid 4 hours into the day. So this was extraordinarily late by the normal standards that they used to use to shech the korban. But we see from here that the latest time, and apparently the tradition was that was the latest possible, you couldn't go anymore. The latest time was 4 hours into the day. meaning, what's 4 hours into the day? We have what's called shosmanios, that in the ancient times they used to use sundials. Well, how does a sundial work? So you have notches, 12 notches on the sundial, and divides as the sun progresses in its path across the sky, so it casts a shadow. So it divides the day from sunrise to sunset into 12 parts. And they varies in length in different times of year. It's just 1/12 of the sun's traveling time from sunrise to sunset. So that was a standard way that the hours were measured in the Greco-Roman world. So when the Chachamim referred to shows, referred to hours, this is what they're talking about. The Rambam writes this in the Perush HaMishnayos in the beginning of Brachos. However, the Minchas Chinuch over here points out, he quotes the Pnei Yehoshua. There has been, some murmurings of this throughout the Achronish times, which is maybe this isn't really right. Maybe it goes by set hours, like we have nowadays, like set hours of 60 minutes. So there is a very minority shita like that. But the truth is, historically speaking, again, this was not the accepted psak ever. And historically speaking, it's very difficult because, as we know, that the basic hours that they used were these relative hours. So when we say 4 hours into the day, that sometimes the Tamid Shel Shachar was offered as late as 4 hours into the day, we mean, what do we mean? A third of the time from sunrise to sunset. There's also a shita that the halachic hours are calculated from Alos HaShachar to Tzeis HaKochavim, which is also very difficult, even though a lot of Rishonim hold like that, but it's very difficult because sundials don't work like that. They don't work from dawn to dusk. Right, they work from only sunrise from sunrise to sunset. So that's why that is a problem, which is why, for example, in Zman Krishma, which is a Shiloh of Deraisa, which we'll maybe get to later, so the common minhag nowadays, even though a lot of Rishonim hold that the Zman Krishma should really be much earlier because the time starts at Alos HaShachar and not sunrise. Nevertheless, the general minhag is that we're makel on this even for this deraisa issue of Zman Krishma because of the difficulties inherent with the shita that shosmanios go from Alos HaShachar to the Tzeis HaKochavim. So this idea that the latest time for the morning offering is until Arba Shos makes its way into our halacha nowadays as well, because the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, at the beginning of Perek Tefillas HaShachar, when it talks about the correct zmanim for davening, so it brings a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, that they have two disagreements about the correct time for davening. The Chachamim say that the Shacharis can be davened until Chatzos, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that Shacharis can only be davened until 4 hours of the day. And the same, they have a similar disagreement regarding the time for Mincha, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Mincha can only be davened until Plag HaMincha, which is an hour and a quarter before sunset. And although some shittas would say it was before Tzeis HaKochavim. And the Chachamim say, no, you could daven Mincha until the end of the day. So the question is, who are we passing like? Seemingly we should pass in like the Chachamim. That's the majority opinion. You should be allowed to daven Shacharis until Chatzos, until midday. So because of this, that there's a explicit testimony that Rabbi Yehuda says in Maseches Edios, that once the latest time for the korban, the offering of the Tamid Shel Shachar, was 4 hours into the day, so therefore we hold that Sof Zman Tefila, the latest time to daven Shacharis, is until 4 hours into the day. And if you didn't daven until then, so still better to daven before Chatzos than nothing. But so our teenagers, if they sleep till 11 a.m. So you should tell them, no, you can still daven Shacharis. Don't feel so bad. It's not great, obviously, but it's not. They could still daven, but you have it until that time. But that's why Zman Tefila that you find in our calendars is until the. We should have less homework.
Okay.
The that's why the Zman Tefila that you find in your calendars is 4 hours into the day. Okay. The Keves Hasheni, the second lamb, shall Beinu Arbayim. So what is Beinu Arbayim? Literally between the eaves. So what's between the eaves? Misheishos u'mechtza lemalo ad sof hayom zehu zmano. Technically, the time was a very lengthy block of time. It is from a half an hour after midday until the end of the day. So we have to define each of these times. Fundamentally, a simple understanding is that the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim could be offered any time after Chatzos, because that's when Bein Harbayim, between the eaves, that's when the sun, instead of being straight ahead, starts its process towards setting. So that's Bein Harbayim. The reason you have to wait an extra half hour is because you don't want to get confused and you want to make sure it's after Chatzos, and it's at a time where it's clearly recognizable that the sun is on its way down. Mm. So this has ramifications for the Zman of Mincha. Mm. That the earliest time we know to daven Mincha is called Mincha Gedola, which is half an hour after midday. So what happens if you daven Mincha between Chatzos and Mincha Gedola? Are you Yotze or not? So that would depend on how you understand this halacha. If it's fundamentally the time is really after Chatzos, but the Chachamim just added on an extra half hour, then Bidyevit, if you already daven Mincha during that half hour, then you would be Yotze Bidyevit. However, if you understand that fundamentally, yeah, this seems to be a minority understanding, that fundamentally the time begins only when it's recognizable that it's the sun is on its path to setting, the shadows start to lengthen a little bit, then you would not be Yotze even Bidyevit after the Zman of Mincha Gedola if you wanted to daven the daven Mincha. So, and then what's Sofayom? Excuse me, what's Sofayom? Does Sofayom mean sunset or Tzeizek Ochabim? This is a major discussion. As ramifications as well regarding the latest time we can daven Mincha nowadays, whether it's sunset or whether it's Tzeizek Ochabim. The Talmud itself certainly, at least during Bein Hashmashos, would not be allowed. There is a sheet in Rishonim that what it means here by the there's a statement in the Gemara that says Dam Nifsal Bishkia Sachama, that the blood of the Korbanos becomes pasul, may not be sprinkled after sunset. So according to some Shitas, that even that Sofayom, that the end of the day is not really the end of the time for the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim, and perhaps not even for his Mincha, but rather the end of the Zman is a little bit before sunset, when the sun really starts to get very dim. So that's a big question. Maybe that's close to Plaga Mincha. Maybe that's close to the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. But the simple understanding is that you could offer the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim until sunset. That for at least for the korban, Bein Hashmashos should not be acceptable. But some shittas allow that for davening mincha that you could be lenient, since that's only the rabban, and you can be lenient about Bein Hashmashos, and you could daven mincha until Tzeizek Ochavim, but not after Tzeizek Ochavim. So if you go to certain communities to the southeast of here, uh-huh, you'll find them davening mincha. You know, it's already completely dark out, and they're davening mincha, so that's really, really not correct.
At least they're davening.
No, better not to daven. Okay, but the... Aval hayushochten oso le'olam bishmona shos u'mechza v'kariv b'tisha u'mechza. That they used to shecht the korban at 8.5 hours into the day, and used to be offered at 9.5 hours into the day. So that's why we also have a concept called Mincha Kitana. The main Zman of Mincha is after 9.5 hours into the day. That's called Mincha Kitana, as opposed to Mincha Gedola, which is the earliest time, which is at 12.5 hours into the day. So the question is, what does it mean that Mincha Kitana is the main time of Mincha? So according to the Rambam and other Rishonim, that means that ideally you should daven Mincha after Mincha Kitana, that it's only in unusual situations, emergency situations, that you're allowed to daven Mincha as early as Mincha Gedola.
Oh.
That you should really daven after Mincha Kitana.
Oh.
But other shitas, the Tur, the Vilna Gaon, and others say, no, it just means that that's the main time for Mincha, but there's no problem whatsoever. If you want to daven earlier, there's no problem at all to daven after Mincha Gedola. But what it means that it's the main time is after Mincha Kitana is. So, for example, you have restrictions on starting a meal before davening Mincha. So, again, there are different shittas, but according to the most shittas, those restrictions really only kick in at Mincha when it gets close to Mincha Kitana, not when it gets close to Mincha Gedola. Ushtei shos elu shema'achrino. So why did they delay the korban 2 hours? Is even though you could really have shechted it 2 hours earlier at 6.5, or whatever we call it, 6.5 hours, which we would call 12. Noon we call 12, they would call 6. So why did they delay it? Haya kedei shiyikru korbanos hayichidim oshel tzibor bein tayim. That if people had korbanos to bring, personal korbanos, or other communal korbanos, they needed extra time in order to do that. You're not allowed to offer any korbanos after the tamid shel bein harbayim, which is why they tried to do it later in the day, as opposed to doing it at the earliest possible time, because then you lose time that you need to offer the korbanos. What's the one exception to this rule? That only one time that a korban is offered after the tamid shel bein harbayim. Korban Pesach.
Yeah.
Korban Pesach is the one korban that's offered after the tamid shel bein harbayim, because that says bein harbayim as well. So that's where the Mincha Gedola business comes in, because when Erev Pesach fell on Friday, that is the only time that they used to offer the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim at the earliest possible opportunity, half an hour after midday. Why? Because you needed to do the Korban Pesach. You had a lot of people bringing the Korban Pesach, and you have to do it as early as possible, because on an ordinary day, so you just have to make sure that all the shechting and the sprinkling of the blood of the Korban Pesach is done before sunset, because it has to be done on the 14th of Nisan. Right, but on Shabbos, on Shabbos, not only do you have time to make sure that all the Korban Pesach is offered properly, meaning shechted and the blood is sprinkled, but you have to have time to roast it before Shabbos begins. When it's Yontif, so no problem, you're allowed to roast it. They're allowed to roast the Korban Pesach on Yontif, but when it's Shabbos, you need to have time. I don't know how long it took in those days, but you need to have an hour or more to roast the whole lamb over an open fire and make sure it's all done and cooked before Shabbos begins. That's why they would offer the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim at the earliest possible time in order to make sure there's plenty of time to offer all the Korban Pesach that they had to do and roast it before Shabbos began. They did it exactly the same way. The Tamid Shel Shachar and Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. El Shoso Shel Shachar Nishchat Al Keren Sonis Maravis Shel Beis Amid B'chaim. That in the that they used to shecht it on the area that they used to shecht the Karbanos in the Azara. So the Tamid Shel Shachar was on the northwestern corner. V'shal Bein Arbayim al Keren Tzvonis Mizrachis, and the Bein Arbayim was on the north eastern corner. Shal Tabashnia, on the second restraining thing that they had to keep the lamb in place. Kedeshia Neged Hashemesh, that the idea was that the korban had to be in the light of the sun. So that's a received tradition. It doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash explicitly that it has to be that way, but that's why they used to change the positioning a little to make sure the sun was shining on the korban. It's explained in the Maseches Tomid in the second parak of Yoma. This is in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. It's a mitzvah that's for the entire Jewish people. The yoser ala kohanim. It's more in the, for the kohanim to ensure that it's done. The im shema chas v'shalom yisrash luba shalul akrivim v'chol yom bitlu aseizah. So the kohanim don't do their job, and they, that's what they're supposed to do. This was offer the karbonos. They don't do their job, so they neglected to perform this positive commandment. V'ashigoga nisleis al kol adas b'nei Yisrael hayodim b'davar. And if, again, they don't have the power to do it, a regular Yisrael can't, if he sees that the Kohanim are not offering the Korbanos, he can't just walk in and do the Korbanos. That doesn't work, obviously. But if he has any way to ensure that it be done, he has to make sure to do it. So he says, "No, Mr. Cohen, you better do the Korbanos right now. I'm going to beat you up." So, okay. So make sure it gets done. V'haramban zal chosha b'cheshbon ha-mitzvah shnei t'midin. So the Ramban counts each Tamid as a separate mitzvah. The Rambam says that they're both one mitzvah. Because they're independent. In other words, if whoops, they forgot to do the Tamid shel shachar one day, so you wouldn't say, whoops, no, we need to do two Tamidim every day, so well, let's just wait till tomorrow. No, you still do the Tamid shel bein harbayim in the afternoon, even if you forgot to do the one in the morning. So they're not dependent, interdependent. So therefore, the Ramban writes that they should be counted as separate mitzvos. Uzmana shozo, lo zmana shozo. They're totally separate times, totally separate mitzvos. So therefore, we should have them counted separately. But the Ramban feels, since they're basically the same thing, they should be counted as one mitzvah.